Now, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and look at Acts chapter 1, please. Tonight, I want to share something along the line. If I were to give it a topic, I would call it Stones of Witness. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus Christ said to his apostles before he ascended, "But ye shall," absolute tense, lambano, "receive into manifestation power, dynamis, when or after that the pneuma hagion, Holy Spirit, is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of" what? That has to include this meeting tonight. It says, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." And a thing that's been burning in my heart is along this line of stones of witness. And I got this title and the whole impact of it from an Old Testament record in the book of Joshua, where I'd like for you to turn, please. You will remember that after the death of Moses, Joshua was called to lead the children of Israel. There is no man in his right mind who would have wanted to have Joshua's job. Now, you may vie for a lot of jobs that pay $250,000 a year, but Moses' job didn't pay that. And nobody was anxious to have Moses' job, because who wanted to lead those 2.5 or 3 million of stubborn, hard-headed, bull-headed Jewish people, Israelites, always kicking the traces and so forth? But God called a man called Joshua, and he promised him that as he was with Moses, so he'd be with him. He said, "No man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life." And finally Joshua says, "Well, if you feel that way, I'll do her." I don't really know if he said that, but he did it. And all through the next years, this wonderful man Joshua led those children of Israel. And he came right toward the close of the end of his ministry and of his life, that the record in the 24th chapter of Joshua comes to pass. And that's what I'd like to share with you tonight. Joshua chapter 24. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. In other words, he called for all the leaders. He got all the twig leaders, he got all the branch leaders, he got all the limb coordinators, he got all the region men in, all the elders, the president's staff, got them all in. It was Joshua, it says, who called them in, right? And they presented themselves, it says, before whom? That means they presented themselves before Joshua, who represented God upon earth. That's what it means. God is spirit, right? They didn't come in there and collect around, and God was sitting on a footstool over there and then moved into a sofa over here. No, no. Joshua called them in, and they all came because Joshua said, "I want to see you." And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of" what? "Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah," or Terah, "the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." And I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him what? The reason he split Abraham out was because Abraham's father and his uncle, they were all serving other gods. But he took Abraham out because Abraham had only one God. That's why he took care of him. And I gave unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, gave unto Esau Mount Seri to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Verse 5. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. You see, it's Joshua talking, but he's speaking for whom? God. He's speaking for God, because in verse 2 it says, thus saith the Lord God of us. So he's speaking for God. Verse 6, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. The vividness of that experience, I cannot picture for you. You must read it in the Old Testament yourself and get a picture in your mind. Because the children of Israel did not have any armament. They didn't have machine guns. They didn't have poison gas. They didn't have any of that. The Egyptians had it all. The children of Israel, they didn't have those kind of armaments to fight the Egyptians with. Verse 7 says, they cried unto whom? The Lord. They cried to the Lord. I haven't checked that word out, but I'll bet you it's Jehovah. Anybody have a quick reference on that word Jehovah in verse 7? Has to be Jehovah. Bollinger have it? No, he doesn't have it? Well, I'll bet it is. They cried, has to be, else the Bible fall to pieces. They cried unto Jehovah, and he who? Jehovah. God, the Lord, Jehovah, he put darkness between you, the children of Israel, and the what? And I want to tell you, when the Lord put it there, it was so dark you couldn't cut it with a knife. You couldn't even see your hand in front of your nose. It was that dark. And he brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in where? Then ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. That's right, 40 years. And I brought you finally, where? Into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then, verse 9, Balak, the son of the Zippor Company. King of Moab arose and warred against Israel. And he sent and called whom? Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan. You came unto where? And the men of Jericho fought against you. The Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Ask Bob Monahan for these names. And I, Jehovah, delivered them into your what? And I sent the hornet. American Motors. Before you, which drove them out. from before you. So that is sticking good time.
See?
Even the two kings of what? The Amorites. But not with a sword. Not with your what? And I've given you a land for which you did not labor. That's grace. Didn't work for it. And cities. Cities I gave you which you did not build. And you dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye what? Eat. Now therefore, verse 14. Reverence, fear is the word reverence, respect, have awe, admiration for Jehovah, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, in truthful sincerity, in truth, which will be sincere, truthfully sincere. Serve him in truth, not in lies, but in what? And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the what? Class, that tells you why they were not delivered sooner. God can only deliver when people believe. And he could not deliver them because they were still serving other gods. They wanted to hold on to their old machinery, their old way of life, their old way of doing things, literally unto other gods. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. In other words, if it's evil on your part to get rid of the gods, to get rid of your reading material, to get rid of your pendants, medallions, if that seems evil unto you, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the what? Boy, that's Joshua. No wonder he was leading the children of Israel. He was not flippy. He was not cold for God one minute and hot the next. He had no other gods to worship but the one true God. And before the elders, before the top men, old Joshua had to take a stand. And he said, listen, President, board, listen, limb leaders, branch leaders, twig coordinators, college WOW leaders, what you gonna do about the other gods you're serving? Make up your mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That threw down the gauntlet. Now they can make up their mind. Because the man of God has taken a stand. Now they can say, okay, Josh, go shove it. That's right. Some of them did. But those who did died. Those whose foot lived. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. You know, for the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He is a jealous God. You know why he's jealous? You got any other God but one God, he's jealous. He's the only God. And any time you have any other God, when you got the Trinity, you got three, baby. That's why you will never live. You will never move. You will never have God's blessing because you're serving other gods. He said, you got any other gods, man. God is a holy God. There's one God, and he's a jealous God. You know, it wouldn't have made God one bit of difference if they'd all gone out and chopped up their corn fodder and ate it backwards. Chopped up their beets and shoved them in each other's nostrils. Ate their horseradish from the top of their head with spoons. That wouldn't have bothered God one bit. But you know what shook him? You know what kept the children in Israel, of Israel in Egypt all those years? You know what kept them wandering for 40 years in the wilderness? Because they were still trying to serve more than one God. He said, he's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins as long as you got these other gods. You see, in Acts 19, when the Word of God prevailed and the Word of God moved, and it finally prevailed, it moved because the people brought their curious arts and their books and they burned them, and the price of them was 50,000 pieces of what? Then it says the Word of God prevailed. We're still playing around in the way ministry with the Word of God. It's great to hear me teach the Word. It's great to hear Walter teach it. It's great to hear others of our men teach it. But it's still a mental ascent to you. You haven't got to the place that you've taken a stand. Come hell or high water, to having done all, stand. And unless the way ministry gets there, there is no hope for you, our country, or the world. It is God who brought the children of Israel with a high hand out. They had no armaments, but they had God. But today, God is a wishy-washy word. You know, he's a fine guy, I guess. You know, he has a big, long, white beard, smokes a 50-cent cigar, dangles his feet. Oh, people, he's the God of life. He's the only God of reality. And we got to get rid of the junk in our life if you expect God's blessing on your life. Well, I didn't write the book. It's God's Word. You see, and God's Word is not something you toy with. You can toy with this building. You can toy with a lot of things. But God, ladies and gentlemen, His stand and His Word stands. If nobody believes it, it's still God's Word. And I hear people saying, well, you know, I pray, I'm sincere, God doesn't answer my prayer. Oh, you old liar. That's right. The Word of God says, be it unto us according to our what? He is more anxious to answer our prayer than we are to pray it. Who is man that stands up against God and says, God, you don't know what you're doing? Verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he will turn. He'll do your hurt, consume you. After all, he's done good for you, then you're going to serve other gods? And the people said unto Josh, oh no, Josh, oh no, Josh. We'll only serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, okay. You are witnesses against yourself. That means you said it with your mouth. Now, you're witnesses against yourself that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Then he says, all right, put away. Now, therefore, put away, said he, the strange what? Gods, which are idols. which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of us. And ladies and gentlemen, your idols can be a lot more than something of wood or stone. Can be idols you fashion in your mind. Can be idols of power, idols of positions, idols of, oh, I want to be a limb leader. Why, I'm going to get in the weight corps, because that's how you get to be a limb leader. Is that right? You try me. I'm not developing limb leaders in the weight corps. You know what? I'm trying my best to do it. I'm not even doing such a good job of that. I'm trying to make first-class twig leaders. I'm not building any limb leaders. I'm building twig leaders in the corps. Men and women who should at least be able to run a twig halfway decently, according to God's word. I know they can't run a limb. I don't know. Twig leaders is what I'm building in the corps. You know why some of you guys are limb leaders? Nobody else there to do it, so you got to do it for a while. That's all. We just sort of clear the air a little bit tonight, okay? Hope to hear this in Kansas before I get back there. Boy, never had any idea of building limb leaders. I'm not in the business to teach you God's word to develop your ego. I'm in the business of teaching God's word to get you to God and the greatness of God. And the closer you get to God, the greater servant you are. You're not looking for the presidency of the Way International. God, you had it sometimes, especially when I come home. I like you, but baby, it's the word. The word. The word. He said, incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said, Lord our God will serve, and his voice will we obey. Then, verse 25, Joshua made a covenant with the people. Wait a minute. Who made a covenant with the people? The man of God. The man of God made a covenant with the people. He made a covenant with the people. The people said, we're going to be witnesses. We're going to do it. And he said, well, you're a witness against yourself. We'll make a covenant. And they set a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words, verse 26, in the book of the law of God. Joshua did the writing in the book of the law of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. And he took a great stone and set it up under a what? That means you think about it, man. That's why it's under an oak. Because when you really want to concentrate, when you want to get in the depth of commitment, when you really want to think a thing through, they would go and sit under an oak tree. Didn't lay that stupid thing under a sycamore. You had to have a place for Zacchaeus to climb that one, I guess. No, under a dead old elm. He wrote it, set a big stone right underneath that oak tree. And he said, now, all you leaders, you look at that stone, man. You see that stone? And he said, this stone, verse 27, shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard, the stone hath heard, all the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. The stone is the witness. It was there when Joshua made the covenant, when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The stone was there, and they took it, set it under an oak. And it said, it shall be there for a witness unto you. The stone was a witness unto you, lest you deny the Lord your one. So after that, Joshua let the people depart. Every man unto his own what? And verse 31 says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived, that lived beyond Joshua's lifetime, that were there. The elders were the limb leaders of the tribe, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for what? Israel. The stone of witness, the stone of witness to Israel, was that stone underneath that oak that had heard the commitment that was there when the commitment was made. He set the stone up, and he said, as long as that stone is there, you, every time you sip and see it underneath that oak tree, you think about it, you elders, the commitment you made. Because if there are any strange gods in the family lower, it's because the leadership wasn't on top of the leadership. The twig coordinator let the little old strange gods get in. He said, every time you see it, you remind yourself, you're a witness against yourself, of that stone underneath the oak. Now let me take you to Luke, please. Luke chapter 20. Listen to this record. And it came to pass, Luke 20, that on one of those days, as he, Jesus, taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests, that's the high caste, you know, and the scribes came upon him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Jesus, tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? Yes. Jesus, who gave you your doctor's degree? Yeah. What college did you graduate from? Who ordained you? Yes. Who gave you that authority? And you see who came after him? The top brass. Chief what? And the Now, I want to remind you, they're talking to God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And he answered and said to them, I'll ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then believe ye him not? But if we say of men, all the men will stone us. For they be persuaded that John was a prophet. Real sharp politicians. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. The liars. Jesus knew it. He said, okay, fellas, I'm not going to tell you either by what authority I do these things. Verse 9. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, more important servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, more important, and they wounded him also, and they cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved what? It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, ah, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Then the inheritance will be what? So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and shall destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyards to others. And when they heard it, they said, oh, God forbid, God forbid. And beheld them, and he beheld them and said, what is it? Is this then that is written? The stone which the builders, what? The same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be what? But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on Jesus. That wasn't to bless him, I guarantee. But they feared or reverenced the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him, FBI, and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves, you know, plainclothesmen, just men, that they might take hold of his words. In other words, that they might listen to what he said and then twist those words around, that so they might deliver him unto the power and the authority of the governor to put him in jail, to have him executed. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but you teach the way of God truly. Bunch of liars. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived by revelation their craftiness. And he said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Give me some money. Whose image and superscriptions on it? They answered, he said, what, at Caesar's? And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which be what? That's right. If only we could believe that, baby, today. We don't render to Caesar what, Caesar? Caesar doesn't even give us the permission to render it to him. He comes and takes it away. That's right. And we Americans haven't got the guts to stand up because we have no leader. We don't know how to go about doing it. 72% of the national gross income last year went to run the federal government. And you know who paid it? The common people of America. The people who are making 8, 7, 6, 5, 8, 10, 12, 14,000 a year, basically. The word of God says you render to Caesar what's what? It doesn't say you render to Caesar what Caesar determines you render to him. It says you give Caesar what Caesar's got coming, and that's all. But what about God? More people are afraid of Caesar than they ever were of God. You know that. You will allow yourself to be taxed 30-40% of your income and never say a lousy word. And if I said to you tonight, I'd like to see you share 30% of your income with the Way Ministry, it'd be written all over the magazines in the country and all the newspapers. But not a one of you squawk. You just talk, but you don't do nothing about it. When the government takes 30%, they don't ask you for it. They take it. They don't even take it after you've given your tithe. They take it before. That makes the government God. My Bible says we're not to have any idols, and we have only one God, and we serve God first. Our God comes first. Render to Caesar the things that are what? And to God what? And they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer, and they held their what? Right. Let me show you Acts chapter 4. Remember what he said about the stone that the builders rejected? Acts chapter 4. Verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed or the benefit done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone. This is the what? Stone. Joshua that day, when he made that covenant with the people, Joshua saw the day of Christ like all the prophets of the Old Testament. And it wasn't just that he set a stupid stone there and said, now, fellas, that's under the oak. Every time you look at that stone, you think stone. No. Every time you look at that stone, you see the future of the coming of the Messiah. And that you made a commitment. That's what Joshua was talking about. This is the stone. This is the what? Which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of what? Corner. Verse 12, and you read it carefully. Neither is there salvation in anyone. Men come to me and say, Buddha's as good as Jesus. Muhammad's as good as Jesus. Somebody else good as Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's right. There is no salvation, and the word salvation is so-so, meaning wholeness, mental, physical, spiritual, financial, complete deliverance. There is no other salvation. Because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, made whole. Class, there is no salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must, absolute tense, be saved. Now somebody says, they don't believe that. That's perfectly all right with me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Word of God is the will of God to me. The Word of God is the will of God. If I want to know the will of God, I read the Word of God. A man says he doesn't believe it. That's perfectly okay with me. If he wants to go to hell, he can go. But he doesn't have to tell me that I have no right to believe the Word. And I believe that the Word of God is the will of God. It means what it says. And I do not believe that there is any other name given among men whereby men can be saved but the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is that stone which the builders rejected. In 1 Peter. Look at chapter 2. Now, I know 1 Peter is not addressed to the church, to the body to which you and I belong. Yet, I know that things which are addressed to other parts of the body, you can utilize them as illustrations to the extent that they agree with that which is addressed to the body. 1 Peter, chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil what? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Grow by what? The Word? Sure. Not Reader's Digest. Not Newsweek. Not Time. Not the 6 o'clock news. Not the 11 o'clock show with your pretzels and what else? We got those little things. Huh? What do you call that stuff? Potato chips. Potato chips. And your Coke or Pepsi or beer and cheese? No. You don't grow by that. The more time you spend sitting in front of that idiot box, the greater idiot you are. And sitting there already indicates we're idiots. Because anybody with an ounce of brains has never gotten one more brain sitting there. If you want to grow, you grow by what? The Word. Then why don't you get into the Word? If you haven't taken a class on power for abundant living, let me introduce you to it. It's got the Word in it, baby. No private not what I think, but what does the Word say? Just like I'm reading you tonight. I'm not up here flipping my chips. I'm not up here moving my brain cells. I'm not up here because I need exercise. I just came off of almost 6 or 7 weeks of just almost 20 hours a day of hard work. Well, I want to tell you, baby, I'm not here spinning my wheels and wasting my time. I'm speaking with all the authority of the Word of God in my soul that when you walk out here tonight, and our people here that surround the nations of the world this week, they can make up their mind whether they really want to stand with God or they want to get out of the way and pussyfoot. That's right. If you're going to grow, you grow by what? I'd get the Word then. Not what V.P. Werwell thinks about it or Henry Beloco, but what does the Word say? If V.P. Werwell reads exactly what the Word says, we're in business. If he doesn't, you believe what the Word says. You've got it straight. You grow by what? What it says. If so be you've tasted, the Lord is gracious. No kidding about that. To whom? Coming as unto a living stone. This Lord, Jesus Christ, the living stone. Disallowed indeed of men. Yeah. Disallowed of men, but chosen of God. Precious. You also, as living what? Because you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. That stone, whom the builders rejected, who is the living stone, is now living within you. That's why you have power. Spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer up spirit acceptable to God, by whom? Wherefore also it's contained in the Scripture. It says in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe or who believe, he is precious. But unto those who are disobedient, the unbelievers, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8. And a stone of stumbling. And he is that rock of offense. Even to them that stumble at the word. To stumble at the what? Word. Being disobedient. Whereunto also they were appointed. Look once more at verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Even to them who stumble at the word. Jesus Christ and anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will be a stone of stumbling. He will be a rock of offense to those who stumble at the word, who don't believe God's word, who don't want to come back to God's word. What are they going to say about us? Every name in the book. Everything that'll degrade, everything that'll, you know, say nice things badly about you, or bad things as nicely as they can about you, just to degrade, because they're stumbling at the word. You know, people, stones are sort of interesting. You can either fall over it, or you can get crushed under it, or you can stand on it. As for me and my house, we stand on it. Now, I started out with Acts 1:8 tonight. The manifestations of the Spirit are the witness, it says. The witness of what? Of that stone whom the builders rejected, who is a living stone, who now lives within me, for I'm born again of God's Spirit, have Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now what proof? The manifestation. The manifestation. He shall be a witness, 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 stone of witness. The manifestation. Set as a witness. Set as a witness. that manifestation, or those manifestations are set as a witness against those who disbelieve. And it's set as a witness for those who believe. That's the word, ladies.